Everybody get one? Okay, if you filled it out, have you turned it in? If you haven't turned it in, just raise your hand, and Brother Sadler will pick them up, or someone will pick them up there. No social security numbers, no names, okay? Hold over here. Yeah, he needs to correlate them.
Correlate?
That's not the right word. Count them. All right, excellent. Well, thank you for letting me be here again. I was here 21, I think. And so it's always very encouraging to me if I go somewhere and preach and then they have me come back. It's really good, and I appreciate that. And this time, I brought the boss with me, my wife Mary Lou. And if you have an opportunity, please meet her. So this morning, first, most important thing, when do I stop? What time?
22.
20 till. Okay. That's plenty of time. So, the elders invited me to come back, and this time they asked me to preach some lessons on some things that might be a source of temptation or trial or difficulty or issue with local churches and so forth, the local church. And so I've really tried to think through a plethora of topics that I think that would be helpful and beneficial to you. Some of you have already asked me, like, what are you going to preach Tuesday night? And I'm just going to heads up with this. I don't know. That depends on you. And I mean that sincerely. When I make a list of everything I want to preach that week, then I get there. Sometimes I say, well, you know, I really don't need that one. I need, you know, this one, you know, kind of thing. So the elders gave me the freedom to be able to do that this week. But I assure you that I will try my best to present lessons that will be helpful to you, that are timely, based upon some things maybe that I've heard or seen, and I'm sure things that you've heard or seen, and I'll be listening to you in the next few days about that. But I want to preach things that will be helpful to you, that will be encouraging to you. So from my perspective, the overall theme is not conformed but transformed. And you may be familiar with that text from the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So you're very familiar with that passage, I'm quite sure. And just to make sure that we're on the same page about two specific words that are in this text, the word conformed. The word conformed really has to do to fashion alike, to be the same kind of pattern. So what Paul is warning us about, there is the world and its fashion or its pattern, what it's like. And he's saying, don't be like that. Don't be like the world. The second word is the word transformed. And it's a word that I'm sure you've heard others say. It's a word that we get metamorphosis. And it's like the caterpillar changing into a butterfly. So biblically speaking, we're looking at the idea of how we're not to become or be like the world out there. We need to be transformed, transfigured, changed. So how do you do that? Well, the Word of God is the power of God into salvation. The Word of God is what transforms us. And God, through His mighty power, makes us what He wants us to be like Him. So I got to thinking about that, and I thought, well, you know, if we're looking at dangers, problems, trials, temptations that confront the church, in my way of thinking, the first base is your faith. If we're not strong in our faith, we're susceptible to anything. If you're personally not strong in your faith, you're not going to be able, in and of yourself, to not become like the world. If you're going to be transformed, you need the help and the power of God. Now, the way that comes to us is through His Word. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit this morning about the idea of faith and how important it is to each one of us. Now, my guess is every single one of you in this room today, you have faith. The Bible talks about little faith, great faith. The question is, where am I? Am I strong enough to withstand the devil? Overcome the trials, the difficulties, the temptations of the world? Or am I being conformed to the world? Or am I being transformed? So a few faith facts. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. You can't please God without faith. You know that. The Bible says that your faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So if you refuse to listen to the Word of God, if you refuse to grow your faith, to become stronger, you're not pleasing to God. The Bible teaches us that not only do you hear it, but that word hear also includes the idea, and I wrote both words. If you're going to be acceptable to God, you not only hear it, but you obey it. You remember in Matthew chapter 7, the end of the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus talked about the wise and the foolish man. And the only difference between those two guys wasn't if they heard the word. They both heard, but only one obeyed. You can come all this week and you hear all these great and wonderful lessons that I'm going to preach. And then you can leave and get in your car and go home and not listen to any of that or understand any of that. That's in part of hearing and obeying. And if you don't make any changes in your life, you don't allow God's Word to touch your heart and to transform you, then you're a foolish man. And when the difficulties come, and they will come, you're going to be swept away. So the whole point of that end of that sermon is you need to hear the word, you need to obey the word. You need to build your house upon the rock, a solid foundation, so that when the rains and the floods come, your house is going to stand firm. That is applicable to each of us personally as well as collectively as the church. Again, you know those things. in John 8 and verse 24. Faith is very personal. You can come to every single service of a local church. And that's beneficial. And I'm not downplaying that. You need to come. You need to be there. Praise God. Encourage each other. Learn, grow, be edified. Gives you strength to go out there and fight the world. But you can sit in a chicken coop 24/7 for 10 years and you won't become a chicken. You can come here and you can sit here. That doesn't make you a strong disciple. Until you open up your heart and you listen and you do His will. It's important. So it's personal. Jesus said in John 8, He said, unless you believe that I am. Your spouse may believe, your parents may believe, your children may believe, but you don't believe. You're not going to be saved based upon the fact that this church, thank you very much, that this church believes and obeys. It's about you. So this week, I'm going to be appealing to you personally for your heart to be what God wants it to be. I'm not your judge. I'm not your jury. I'm not your executioner. I'm just here as a teacher to help you to understand God's Word. It's all up to you what you do with it. So faith needs to grow. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge. Like a newborn babe. If you don't learn, know, practice God's Word, you're going to be destroyed. Knowledge, wisdom is powerful in the child of God's life. To be ignorant, to be foolish, it's destructive. God's Word will save you. I can't save you. I can teach you the Word. I can help encourage you. But it's you that make up your mind to do God's will. Brother said to me many years ago, he said, people that want to go to church, you can't keep them from going to church if you stand at the back door with a shotgun. People that don't want to go to church, you can't go to their house with a shotgun and bring them here. And I think that's true. We do what we want to do. We're either going to grow in the grace and knowledge, or we're not. So are you hungry? Well, how long have we been here? 17 minutes. Are you hungry? Did you eat breakfast? You know, it's something I found out in my years. I can get up in the morning and eat breakfast. Lunchtime, I'm starving to death. I can get up in the morning and not eat breakfast. And at lunchtime, I'm starving to death. Y'all have that problem? I'm always hungry. Problem is, I eat so much, I don't ever get hungry. Seems like. The Bible talks about those that hunger. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Some beautiful words there. The idea of blessed, happy. So if I was to ask you the question, these are all questions that you need to answer in your own heart. Are you happy today with your spiritual life? Are you what you want to be? Are you what you need to be? Well, if you are what God wants you to be, it's blessed, happy. The Bible talks about this idea of righteousness. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. There's a couple of senses in which that I think that word is used. One, in the psalm, we learned that all your commandments are righteous. So obeying all the commands of God, one, will be right in God's eyes. Contextually, I think maybe in the Sermon on the Mount, righteousness here has to do with... The Sermon on the Mount is all about... Remember how many times Jesus says, well, you heard it said of old, but I say unto you. He's talking about transformation. He's talking about people transforming their lives. Don't base your life based upon what you've heard said of old. Base it upon what Jesus says to you now. What does He say to you? What does He want you to do? So righteousness there, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, this changed life. Do you remember who you were before you became a Christian? Do you realize who you are now? Have you changed? Are things different? They should be. Satisfied. Talking about eating. You sit down and eat a meal. And after you eat that meal, I think of my mother. Back when she was living and we would go home for Thanksgiving. And she would cook and cook and cook and cook and cook. And usually we would eat, 12 o'clock, something like that. And we'd be in the living room. And you could smell all that cooking. And it just makes you just more hungry and excited about eating lunch. And finally when she says, come and get it. She didn't have to say that twice. We'd all run in there, get at the table, and she's got all of these things. And if you just get just a little bit of everything, your plate looks like this, it's all. And you start eating. You know what always made me mad? Always made me mad. Because it all tastes so good. And I'm stuffed. I can't even begin to put another piece of turkey in my mouth because there's no more room. And that makes me mad because I want more. I want more turkey, more dressing, but there's no more room. Have you ever felt that way about God? Have you ever felt that way about God? About His Word? That you're just imbibing, you're just taking it in and you're eating and you're just absorbing it and you're just so full. But I tell you what, even though I was mad because I couldn't take another bite, I tell you what, that's so good. Satisfied. You just took a survey. I've done this lesson a number of times, a number of places throughout the years. And it's pretty interesting. You're talking with, meeting with Christians, talking about how important faith is. And all of you, as Christians, I didn't say a single thing this morning that you didn't already know. Just reminding you of the importance of faith in your life. If you're going to survive this world, you've got to have faith, strong faith. If you don't have strong faith, you're going to get swept away. So we're talking about being conformed, not conformed, but transformed. We're talking about the means by which we become like what God wants us to be. So the first question is, do you read your Bible every day? Now, I should have told everybody before I had you do that. Because if you want to read the Bible every other day, that's not every day. Anybody want to change your answer? If you read your Bible once or twice a week, that's not every day. I'm talking about reading your Bible every day. Second question, do you study your Bible every day? Not twice a week for Sunday and Wednesday, every day. Anybody want to change the answer? Third, do you pray every day? So, over the years, it's been a lot of them, a lot of churches, the average, do you read your Bible every day? 26.2% average. Churches, brethren. Number two, do you study your Bible every day? You think that's greater than the first one or less than? 12.46%. Do you pray every day? Greater or smaller? 89.55%. Why is it that we're a whole lot better at talking to God than listening to Him? Have you ever been around someone that they do all the talking? You can't even get a word in edgeways. They do all the talking. Someone said one time, if you do all the talking in conversation, you never learn anything. Why would we talk so much to God but not listen to Him? Do you know what your survey says? You want to know? Question number one, do you read your Bible every day? Average has been through the years 26.2%. Yours comes out to... Okay, help me out here, brother. Oh, you did the yeses and the noes.
Yes, I did both.
Okay. Oh, very good. Do you read your Bible every day? Of this group, 71.4% say yes. Now, I'm going to assume that 50% of you lied about that. No, just kidding. That's really good. Number two, do you study your Bible every day? Survey was like 12.5%. Here, it went down a bit, 48.9%. But still better than average. Do you pray every day? Average was 89.5. Your average, 95.9. That's pretty awesome. You're way above average. That's really, really good. Here's my question. Never had anybody do that good. Do you read your Bible every day? 38.6 of you said no. And my question is why? Do you study your Bible every day? 51.1% no. The question is why? Do you pray every day? 4% say no. Why do you not pray every day? Let's think a little bit about this. Why don't we read and study the Bible every day? Well, you may have your own answers, but I would like to suggest to us that pretty simple things like too busy. We're busy. We're going here, going there. How about this? Don't know how. Now, it's not maybe that you don't know how to read, but how many of you, you don't have to have a show of hands? First of the year, start a reading program. You get to the book of Leviticus. Get discouraged and quit. Keep it up for a while, but it's just the pace is too much. Maybe while you're reading, you go to sleep. My wife and I have this conversation when we're watching a movie or something together, and I'll look over and she's gone. And then, 10 minutes later, she'll wake up and she'll say, "Who's that? What are they doing?" So thankfully, you can have the thing, you can just pause, catch her up, sometimes we don't understand because we really don't know what we're doing. My dad, he only went through the 8th grade. He could read, but his comprehension was awful. He could read a few verses, and then if he read it 10 times, it'd be difficult for him to tell you what he read. I teach 12th grade Bible at a Bible school. Reading comprehension among seniors in high school. Not all that good. Have them read a passage. Now tell me what it said. Some people just don't like to read the Bible. They read it and they're lost. They don't get the connections. They don't understand maybe the seriousness of it, the importance of really just learning. But I'm afraid many times we just feel like we don't need to. Well, that's why I go to church. That's why we have a preacher. Tell us what we're supposed to believe and tell us what we're supposed to do. That's really not how it works. If it works that way, it's not working. So we'll give you a little challenge. I don't know if you've got a daily reading program, anything like that. If you do, that's great, wonderful. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament. I counted. What if you read 10 chapters a day? Did you know you could read the whole New Testament through in 26 days? Now, if you look at the calendar, most months have more than 26 days. In fact, I think all 12 of them. So there's going to be a few days that, it's just going to be crazy. And you'll get to read that day. You've got a few extra days each month to catch up. But if you get behind like 5 days, we're talking about 50 chapters, you're sunk. You're just sunk. But think about for a moment, what if you gave yourself a challenge? What if you decided, I'm going to listen to God every day for 3 months? What would that do for me? Imagine. Every day, 10 chapters worth, the New Testament, God's going to speak to you. Do that for 3 months. How has it changed you? Would it change you? I've given this challenge to a lot of churches. I can probably count on these two hands the number of people that actually fulfilled the challenge. I give people my email. At the end of 3 months, send me an email. Tell me how it changed your life. This is one. Donald and I wanted to let you know how much we liked the challenge of reading the New Testament. Not sure if anyone else here took you up with the challenge or not. If they did not, they do not know what they have missed. It was very rewarding and gives us a better respect for God's Word. Had never had a challenge like this in my 70 years of life. Now, all I want to do is read and read more. Thank you for giving us this challenge. Well, some of you are saying, well, those are just old people. They ain't got anything else to do. I didn't bring the email, but there was a young couple at a congregation. They had a couple small kids. And I would guess their age probably mid to late 30s. Both of them work outside the home. They did the challenge. This is what they said. It was very, very, very difficult for us to read 10 chapters every day. So what we had to do, we had to move some stuff. Our routine, work and school all day. Come home, supper, homework, throw in a sports activity or two. We put the kids to bed, and then we would relax, watch our favorite television show, and go to sleep, get up out of our recliners, and go to bed, then repeat. They said we had to stop watching our TV show. And we read the Bible together for 3 months. They did that with two small children in school. Their conclusion? It changed their lives. They said they weren't going to watch TV anymore because they read their Bible together as husband and wife. Their relationship was stronger as husband and wife. They were better parents because they read the Bible every day. That's young people. You want to have faith that's strong? Then you got to do your homework. You can't take your Bible, lay it underneath your pillow, and sleep on it. And by osmosis, it soaks into your ears. That's not how it works. And you can't do your daily Bible reading while you're sleeping. Someone's going to ask, is it okay to use one of these apps that reads to you? Yeah, absolutely. Go for it. 10 chapters. Just don't go to sleep. Pay attention. Read it. Listen to it. 10 chapters a day. Some of you are saying, oh, that's easy peasy. It's not. It'll be mountainous. But I want to encourage you. If you don't want to be conformed to this world, but you want to be transformed, this is where you start. Your own personal faith. Listening to God. Well, that's what I come to tell you. That's lesson one. Let it all be, let it be said, I finished early. Thank y'all.